It's 5 minutes past four Central African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. A warm welcome to one and all to Radio Islam International. It is a Saturday afternoon mixed with myself, Irfan Abu, and I'll be in your company from now till 5 p.m. Central African time. It's the 2nd of Muharram, 1442. Subhanallah, we have entered into the new Islamic year, and subhanallah, how quickly has the year 1441 gone by? And we praise and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every ni'mat, for every bounty that Allah Rabbul Izzah Jalla Jalaluhu has blessed us. And obviously corresponding to the 22nd of August 2020. Coming up on our edition of the Saturday afternoon mix, inshallah, first we're going to cross over to Pakistan and we're going to speak to a career guidance counselor, a friend of mine's brother, Muhammad Ahad Gul, all the way from Rawalpindi, and he's a career guidance counselor and very experienced in the field of career counseling. And our discussion this afternoon will be career identity crisis. How many of youngsters that go into a particular field and midway through their studies, or perhaps when they have completed their studies, they have told themselves that this is not for me anymore. And they come to crossroads and they become extremely sad and depressed and frustrated. And what's the way forward? You know, inshallah, we'll be discussing with regard to these aspects to what Brother Muhammad Ahad Gul, and we'll be expounding further with regard to career identity crisis. If you'd like to be part of the program, you can drop your WhatsApp messages on 072-538-5599, or alternatively, you can call our engineer, Brother Mahmoodul Hassan, on 011-854-1548. And later in our program, we will be looking at our article for the week, and we'll be looking at the Islamic year, the Islamic calendar according to Quran, and we'll be discussing some beautiful points and some jewels with regard to the Islamic year and the months of the year, inshallah. And also later on in the program, we will be playing our YouTube club, Brother Sheikh Zahir Mahmoud. And once again, we'll be touching on the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And we end off the program with our life hack. Stay tuned. You are listening to the Saturday Afternoon Mix. It's 10 minutes past 4 Central African time. You are listening to Radio Islam International. It is the Saturday Afternoon Mix. With myself, Irfan Ogu, and I'll be in your company from now till 5 p.m. Central African time. On the line, we do have our guest, Brother Muhammad Ahad Gul, all the way out from Rawalpindi, Pakistan, a career guidance counselor, and a person that has extensive experience being part of the two largest private schools in Pakistan, and his job was to guide them as far as the careers are concerned and to, you know, unravel within themselves, the youngsters, high school learners, you know, as far as their likes, their dislikes, you know, their passion and where they should head towards, and guiding them towards a career that will lead them to a productive life and not just running after financial gain, but becoming a productive human being. And khairun nas and fahum min nas, the best of people are those who benefit others. And welcome to the program, Brother Muhammad Ahad Gul. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Irfan, jazakumullah khairan for having me on this program. And I'm looking forward to having a very healthy discussion with you regarding careers and especially identity crisis that youth usually faces these days.
Alhamdulillah. Brother Muhammad Ahad Gul, are you keeping this afternoon?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well. It is your afternoon. It is evening here in Pakistan. We just offered the Maghrib prayer.
Okay, alhamdulillah. How's the weather treating you guys?
It's pretty hot. It's pretty warm here.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, every weather. Yeah.
And for the benefit of all the listeners, Brother Ahad Gul, mashallah, is also a student of the Jamia Online, and alhamdulillah, very enthusiastic person, mashallah. Brother Muhammad, coming to our discussion for this afternoon. First, let's define, what is a career identity crisis?
Brother, basically, career identity crisis also spawns from the original term, which is identity crisis, that whenever somebody feels that they can't exactly identify who they are, they can't figure out what values or what kind of plan they have for their future, and how if they had to probably define themselves if they were unable to do that. Now, in terms of career identity crisis, and we were discussing, you and I, we were discussing this earlier as well, that a big problem that I see amongst the youth these days is that they expect that they would be able to figure out things in life very early on. And this is a problem which exists in the youth more and less in previous generations. And the reason for that is that technology, the rushing in of the era of technology and social media has sort of ingrained in the minds of the youth this concept of instant gratification, that they need instant results. So because of that, something like an identity which perhaps at times takes a lifetime to develop, to evolve, and to figure out, that is something that the youth is identifying that they can't figure it out at a very, very early on stage, and they feel that this is a challenge, and this eventually might unfortunately lead them into some early on stages of depression as well. So in terms of career, if we look at identity crisis, that means when the youth are, let's say, studying in school and then they get on with their universities, or even the transition from school to university, they are unaware of what they want to study, why they want to study it, and they feel that since everybody is doing the same things, it's run of the mill, that since everybody is in the same race, that they have to be part of that race as well. And although they go through those motions, but eventually they do realize that they did a lot of things that they don't know the reason for. And that's when that onset of early onset of career identity crisis starts setting in.
Brother Muhammad Ahad Gul, let's look at a scenario-based situation. Here we get a youngster that comes to you, for instance, and alhamdulillah, you're very experienced in this field, and you know, from your from being employed by a corporate company and then moving towards a private working in your private zone. When a student comes to you and says that, look, I'm confused, where do you start? You know, when you speak to the youngster and says, what's your plans after, obviously we say grade 12 in matric, within the context of South Africa, what do you want to do next year, meaning going towards a university? And they would say, I'm not sure, I'm still confused. What advice do you give to such a person?
Brother, I think since we have a strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain knowledge, but He has also made the future uncertain. So that is something that I move forward with when I talk to my students or any person who has any confusion, that perhaps telling them as a first step that confusion is a normal state. It is not an abnormal state. It is not an illness. It is not a problem that you have. This is something that I do at the beginning. Because for some reason, whether it's South Africa or Pakistan or any other country, we have sort of given this notion to the youth that confusion is a problem with you. And it needs to be solved. Yes, it does need to be solved, but it has to be stage by stage, and it has to be a gradual process. So the first thing I would probably do is not tell them that there's anything wrong with them. And the second thing I would do is maybe not talk about their career in the beginning. Obviously, the pressure, obviously the pressure of, let's say, asking a young person, do you want to become a doctor? Do you want to become an engineer? Do you want to do law? Do you want to get into accounting? What do you want to do? Considering that when we were, let's say, 16 or 17 or 18 years old, and at that time, these questions would probably be the most difficult questions for us to answer. So I guess going back to my own personal experience and people like myself, that instead of barraging them with questions regarding their career, the first step a counselor probably needs to do is to try to get to know the person. Every person is unique. Every person has different interests and inclinations. And even the family background and financial background that they come from, that also can influence their decisions regarding their future. So in terms of that, maybe trying to figure out what are they interested in, how do they spend their free time? If they were studying in school, what subject did they like? If they, let's say, didn't like a subject, was that because they did not find interest in it, or perhaps they did not get a good teacher? Maybe they found it challenging. There some maybe a class fellow or a teacher could have been demotivating. These are all possible factors because of which I have to work on a case-to-case basis with each individual and then figure out what kind of career path and what kind of roadmap can I give to them.
What factor amongst the students that many of them tend to look at a career linked to financial gain? You know, many a times people look at how much you will earn instead of looking at the passion that has to be created within, or rather the passion from within that drives a person to study a particular course.
Yeah, mashallah, that's probably an issue that I face the most, that not just the students themselves, but I would also receive quite a few parents, and when they would say that, sir, we want to ask you a few questions about our child's career, the first question would probably be that, can you recommend a few careers where they can make the most money? Now, I can probably sort of relate, and I can understand that in a secular education system or in a secular society, these are real questions, and these are pertinent questions that a parent or even a student can ask. And to some extent, I can understand that there is statistical and data available which can sort of give you an average salary or average income you can make when you look at different careers. But as a Muslim myself, I've always had the urge, and I've obviously seen whether the time has been right to talk to parents and to students about the fact that that risk is not in our hands, but it is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thankfully, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
All of that, yes, it is our responsibility is perhaps only to use our talents and to use the gifts that have been given to us to make effort to get on this journey of developing ourselves in multiple dimensions. I understand that there are a lot of financial concerns, and I'm not going to say that they're misplaced, but at the same time, I try to talk less about finances and about the fact that if a child or if a student makes an effort, gives it his or her all in a particular career, and they're passionate about it, they can become successful in their own career. So it doesn't matter whether, let's say, a career is not doing well, an industry is not doing well, as long as you make an excel in that career, you can become a leader and a respectable professional within your own industry.
Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. SubhanAllah, obviously, risk and is determined and decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and very well said to by our guest, Brother Muhammad Ahad. But looking at another situation many people do find themselves is that, mashallah, they've enrolled in university and, let's say, midway through their studies, and there comes a crisis whereby they're not enjoying themselves and they feel this is not for us anymore. And they come to crossroads, they go into, obviously, pressure from parents to say, look, started the course, you got to finish the course now. And they feel like they can't continue it due to a lot of pressure coming from the parents, that they just continue it just for the sake of doing it and fulfilling the wishes and the desires of their parents. However, in that interim period, they're in a situation where they're sad, depressed, and, you know, that overpowers them. What do you advise, what advice do you give to such students, Brother Mohammed?
Brother, I can see your questions are getting trickier by each question. This is perhaps a very tricky question because I guess, as I said earlier as well, it's not very easy to give one formula for each student or for each client. And yes, this is a common problem that students do start out in university, and if it's a 4-year degree, they realize after 2 years that this is not for me. And I've had a few recent experiences where I've seen students drop out as well. And then I've seen students who pushed on ahead and tried to complete that degree. Now, as I said earlier, it varies case to case, and then looking at the financial situation of the family, I guess that's something that a student also has to come to terms with. That probably you and I know as adults, a lot of our decisions at times are governed by financial limitations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a student also has to, with all due respect to such students, they also have to mature up and realize that there can be certain limitations. So then at that point in time, they have to realize whether they can afford to push forward or afford to drop out. But as far as on a, let's say, a passionate level, on a personal level, where they're not sure whether this is something that they can do for the rest of their life, I think something that they can do to figure out is maybe, let's say, if they've done, let's say, 2 years of a four-year degree, then they can maybe shadow somebody in an organization or maybe do an internship in an organization and check it out if it's a problem with the way they're being taught or whether the field is not for them. Mm-hmm. I've had examples of students who were doing really well in school and they wanted to become doctors. And we said, all right, so we have this contract with a hospital where they will let you intern for a few weeks. So you can shadow a few doctors and surgeons and then figure out whether you want to become a doctor. And we realized that there were so many students, while they were academically very, very good in medicine subject, but when it came to the practical work, they did not like it at all.
And
they very quickly figured out that, no, we want to do something, let's say, in biology, but no, we don't want to become doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And the reverse is true as well, that we had some students who were not pushing, not giving it their all within these particular subjects or degrees, but then when they went to the hospital, they realized that, yes, I feel my calling is to become a doctor, or I feel my calling is to become an engineer, and I'll give it my all, and we saw improvement in their performance in their educational institution as well. So I think before taking a very, very big decision or taking a big step of dropping out, it's important to cover all of your bases in terms of gaining some practical experience related to the degree or the subject that you're studying, so that you can, in your mind at least, confirm this fact that whether this is a career for you or not. And if you get to that stage, then I feel you are in a much more confident position to go and talk to your parents in a mature way, in a logical and rational way. I will of course say this, that yes, parents are not always mature, logical. Parents are very emotional beings. I know I'm a parent myself, so I do get very emotional about my children as well. So I do understand that parents will be emotional, but I'm quite certain that there will be no parent who will not support their child if they see their child making an effort and still not being able to continue with a particular career. I'm sure the parents will say, okay, we understand, you've given it your all, you've made an effort, you've done all you could. If you still can't do it, we'll support you in whatever way it's possible.
Well, Mohammed Ahad Gul, many a times, many youngsters go through failure. Obviously, it's not to be all and end all. Allah Pak is so kind, so merciful. There's so many kisahs and stories that can bring hope to a human being. And many a time they start a particular cause and it just doesn't work out and they go into this rust, they go into this, into the shell, of depression and anxiety and, it feels like the whole world is crumbling. What's your advice as a career counselor or for that matter? I mean, obviously career counselor comes with motivating and encouraging, students out there. What would you tell, or rather what would you say to such people who go through such phases in their life?
I think, brother, you've hit the nail on the head that we have so many pictures from our Islamic history where we've seen not only the Muslims and people, but we've seen the Anbiya as well go through a lot of trials and tests. And if we look at it, there are, I think there's this part of an ayah from Surah Taghabun which says, "Ma asaba min musiba illa bi idhnillah," that no trial and test will come except with the permission and the will of Allah. So the first thing that we need to realize is that at times we will go through tests, even if we are doing everything right. In fact, that is usually the case, that we do everything we think is right, and even then we go through difficulty, we go through trials. So trial and test and failure is a part of life, and it happens. Honestly speaking, if this was maybe a video program, I could show you my school certificate, some embarrassing documents that I have hidden away in a cupboard, which can prove that, yes, there are times when even if you make your effort, you don't get the result that you want. But you have to not only accept that and not go into a phase of depression. You can maybe mull over it for maybe a day or, mope over it for a couple of days. But beyond that, I think these, in the broader scheme of things, these failures are only there to develop our resilience and our resolve and our steadfastness to handle the practical challenges of life. Mm. And I guess the challenges that come in school and the challenges that come in university, these are challenges that when we were that age, yes, they meant the world for us. And if something bad happened, the world crumbled around us. And you knew that once you got home, your parents would also crumble your world around you. But once you get into the practical life, you realize that these challenges are not as big as you thought they were, as monumental as you thought they were. They were actually there to prepare you for further challenges. And we see so many videos being shared through social media where we see people falling on race tracks and they get up and they finish the race because that's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. So you need to keep pushing yourself, and at times I feel that there is no shortcut to life, but there is a sort of a formula to life that every time you fall down, you just pick yourself up and you start moving. And you realize that every time you pick up, you have, if you have no one with you, that means you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you. Because you do not need anybody else. And this reminds me of another story from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hazmunallahi wa ni'mal wakil. This one. So you don't need anybody on your back. You don't need any other support. If you know that Allah is with you and He is with those people who have a clear and clean intention and who have a solid intention of making the most of what Allah has given to them. So I can honestly say that to some extent, yes, people will feel down. They will feel a little depressed when they go through failure. But they have to develop this habit of getting out of that phase very quickly. I'm not saying that they will not feel it. They will feel it, but they have to keep on preparing themselves so that they don't waste too much time. They don't linger on that failure. They learn from it and realize, okay, what's next? That's how they have to start working in their life. And inshallah, they will never feel like they are in difficulty.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Brother Muhammad Ahad Gol, it's been a pleasure chatting to you this afternoon. I think very beautiful and pertinent points that we have brought up in this discussion. We hope to speak to you soon, inshallah, in the near future. Brother Muhammad Ahad Gol, jazakumullah khairan for your time and keep well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakumullah khairan for having me here. Just one last thing, if I have the time to say this. Brother?
Niji, you can go ahead, brother.
Yes. I just quickly wanted to say that as far as identity crisis is concerned, and since I come from a Muslim-dominant country, and you guys obviously Muslims are minority in South Africa, I would say that in terms of an identity crisis, there is one thing common within us and within our youth, especially within our youth as well, and that is that since we are barraged by a lot of secular information and Western information, and I'm not saying that's incorrect. What happens because of that is that the achievements of the people of Muslims in our history, of Muslim educationists, of Muslim scientists and mathematicians, and even military commanders, and obviously our Khulafa Rashideen, as well as the prophets, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those are at times eclipsed in the modern day education that we get. And because of that, we at times do not have our own identity as to what Muslims are really capable of doing. Yes, sure, I understand that this might be a sort of a slightly political point, that Muslims right now are downtrodden throughout the world and they are facing a lot of challenges. But we have to hold on to the hope of the fact that Muslims in the past have been so capable, and they have achieved amazing feats. And just by reading and going through that knowledge and being aware of what our religious ancestors have been able to do, we can inshallah strive to become like them, and inshallah even better than a lot of Muslim scientists and mathematicians and whatnot in the past. So I think our youth need to make an effort to study their own history as well, because as an ummah, we are one collective whole. So we have this shared history that our youth needs to go through, so that we can understand that inshallah we can rise together as an ummah, and we need our youth and our brilliant young mind to help with this upliftment.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Very, very interesting, Brother Muhammad Ahad Gul. Jazakallah khairan once again for your time. Keep well, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
That is the voice of Brother Muhammad Ahad Gul, all the way from Rawalpindi, Pakistan, sharing with us as we discuss through the topic of career identity crisis, and obviously from there, a lot of other challenges do come with it. And as we have expounded on the various challenges and very beautiful nasihat that was shared by Brother Muhammad Ahad Gul, and Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all the youth out there, especially when it comes to career choices and the pressure from parents. And sometimes there's a conflict between the parent, as we discussed, also between the parent as well as the student, the learner preparing himself to go to university. Allah Ta'ala make it easy.